Good evening. Glad to see all of you here tonight. Before we get started, I want to thank the elders and Ray for contacting me to be able to speak this evening. And also want to thank my friends and roommates and guys who just mean a lot to me for helping me out with the lesson this evening. If you'd like to, please open back up to Acts chapter 9. We'll be going all the way through verse 1 through 19. Tonight we're talking about Saul. Before we get started looking at the text, there's a couple things, six things that I want to mention about Saul. The first thing is he was very religious. You can see that over everything he did, how he lived his life. He was blameless according to the law of Moses, a Pharisee among Pharisees, very zealous for the faith of his fathers, and absolutely convinced that he was doing the will of God. He was of rich heritage, a Jew among Jews, born into the tribe of Benjamin. He was also well educated. He trained at the feet of Gamaliel, one of Israel's greatest teachers of the day. He was also ambitious, and he advanced quickly up the ranks of the Pharisees and had ability, desire, and talent far above his peers. He was also full of bitterness and hatred. He hated anyone and anything who could be a threat to the things that he believed, and those who would cause trouble for his people, and those who opposed the teachings of the high priest and the law of Moses. He was also a man of loyalty, which you can see looking in starting in verse 1 and through 2 for the moment. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belongings to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. You can see how he was a man of loyalty right there, just for he sought out permission and approval of the high priest. Now going along, before the light from heaven is shown on Saul, something that Saul might have said about Jesus is that, do you expect me to believe that a crucified nobody is the promised Messiah? The law says that anyone who is hung on a tree is cursed. Would God take a cursed false prophet? No. His prophets are teaching that Jesus is alive and doing miracles through them. But their power comes from Satan, not God. This is a dangerous sect, and I intend to eliminate it before it destroys our historic Jewish faith. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21, looking at verse 23. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. It says, "His body shall not remain all the night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance." This law, it restricted the exposure of a dead criminal hanging on a tree, hence the concern for immediately burying Jesus. Now flip over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree,' so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised faith, the promised spirit through faith." Are we ever like Saul? Do you think that we know something so strongly we've convinced ourselves that we're right, but yet we're not? A good illustration of this, a man was having difficulty communicating with his wife, and he concluded that she was becoming hard of hearing. So one evening, she was sitting across the living room with her back to him, and he sat on the opposite side, and he whispered, "Can you hear me?" There was no response, so he moved a little closer. He said once again, "Can you hear me?" Still no response, so he moved a little closer. "Can you hear me?" Once again, no response. And then he got right up on the back, real close to her, and whispered, "Can you hear me?" And she said, much to his surprise, with a little irritation in her voice, for the fourth time, "Yes." Now, looking at it, are we not the same way? Do we not ask God, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" over and over again? But yet, we don't take the time to listen, or we're too blinded, as Saul was, that we'll see in a second, to be able to see it or to hear it. God's voice came to Paul when he was trying to do what God wanted, or at least what he thought God wanted. We look back and see that Saul was wrong. Hunting down the Christians was clearly not what God desired. But Saul really did think that he was right. Also, God's voice caused him to totally change direction. Saul got a total change in his life that day. The voice from heaven showed him that the life he knew would be over, because God had singled him out for a brand new thing. Now going back to chapter 9 of Acts. Go flip back over there. Be reading verses 3 through 6. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Saul, in what he was doing and what he thought he was doing, he was very sincere. But despite that, when we were sinning, when he was persecuting the other Christians, it was still sin, because it was not what God wanted. God's voice shows us our sin despite our sincerity. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Looking at verse 32. Saul learned several things that day. He learned that Jesus of Nazareth was actually alive. The believers had been constantly confirming this, as Acts 2:32 says. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses." Now flip over to chapter 3, verse 15. "And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." So the believers had been constantly confirming it, that Christ was alive, but yet Saul didn't want to believe it, didn't see it. Saul refused to accept the testimony that Jesus was alive, because if he had of, he would have had to change his mind about Jesus. He would have had to repent, which I imagine would have been a difficult thing for a self-righteous Pharisee. One other thing that he discovered, that he was a lost sinner who is in the danger of the judgment of God. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. But he discovered that he was a lost sinner who was in the danger of the judgment of God, and he was completely changed. Philippians chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 11. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh, for we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has the reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Going back over in verse 8. "I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." To gain Christ, we have to lose everything of the world. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. Please. Acts chapter 26, verses 16 and 18. Or excuse me, 16 through 18. It says, "But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith with me. So God appeared to Saul for a purpose. That purpose, it says right here, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me. Saul was the biggest persecutor of Christians. Now imagine somebody like Saul, the biggest persecutor of Christians, if all of a sudden they just changed. They persecuted God. They said, no, that is wrong. That is not how it is. And then all of a sudden they change. And they say, yes, that is right. God is alive. Jesus is the Son of God. Imagine how you'd react, somebody who changed their mind that quickly. Go back to Acts chapter 9. Be looking at verses 7 through 12. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. Excuse me. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. Now before we go on to the next part, going back to verse 8. His eyes were open, yet he saw nothing. How often are we blinded? Our eyes are open, yet we see nothing. Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus. His physical eyes were shut, but his spiritual eyes were open. God was humbling him for the ministry of Ananias. Now looking, going on, continuing in verse 13. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. When I think of being blinded, I grew up around horses. I think of blinders when you put them on. The only thing that you can see is straight ahead. When you are only focused on what's straight ahead and not around you, you can't see everything. Saul was so focused on persecuting the Christians because he thought that they were wrong, that he couldn't look and see around him. And then starting in verse 13, where we're talking about Ananias questioned God about his decision to send him to find Saul. Then looking at verse 15, I'm going to read it one more time. But the Lord said, go to him, excuse me, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. That would be a pretty good summary for Paul's life and ministry. It was all of grace, for he did not choose God, but God chose him. God chose him to be an instrument so that God could spread his word to others. In verse 18, where it says, and immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight, and he rose and was baptized. This physical event was also a symbol that Saul's spiritual blindness had been overcome, and he could now see and understand the truth. Flip over to Acts chapter 22. We'll be looking at the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21. This is Saul's account as he's telling it what happened. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I'm a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in the city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. Excuse me. And since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well spoken by of all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. At that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approved and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Flip back over to verse 6. About noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? God came to Saul through a great light from heaven. It suddenly shone around him. He fell to the ground and was blinded by it. Now that makes you think how life one day can be that way and the next second it can be different. Saul, who thought so well that he was doing what God wanted, wasn't. But when God came to him, when God encountered him on the road to Damascus, it changed his life. He realized that he had a calling from God to go out to worship God, to spread God's word. Turn over to Acts chapter 26. Verses 15 through 18. But before I read that, think of some of the ways that we encounter God. Some of the places, one thing I'm very thankful for is Fried Hardeman. It's a place where you can see God every day, where you can see he's active, all the things that are going on. But think about how we encounter God in our everyday lives. Acts chapter 26, verses 15 through 18 says, And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me and to those in which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are called, as Saul was, to be a servant and a witness as well. That is what we need to do with our lives. If tonight you feel like you haven't been doing exactly what you need to in your life, if you're struggling with something, if there's anything that we can do to help you with, will you please come forward as we stand and sing.